Will you please turn to Colossians? Epistle to the Colossians. Chapter 1. Verses 7 and 8. Colossians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. Even as he learned from Epaphras, our beloved fellow bondman, who is a faithful minister of Christ for you, who also has manifested to us your love in the Spirit. And chapter 4, 12 and 13. Epaphras, who is one of you, the bondman of Christ Jesus, salutes you, always combating earnestly for you in prayer, to the end that he may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that his labor is much for you, and them in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis. And finally, Philemon. Philemon, verse 23. Epaphras salutes you, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we want to thank Thee for having invited us to Thy table. We realize how unworthy we are, but Thou art the worthy one. We thank Thee for all that Thou hast done for us. Only Thou art able to do such a wonderful salvation. And Lord, we have to come back and thank Thee for all that Thou hast done for us. As we continue in Thy presence, we pray that Thy Spirit will move in our midst, especially our young people, that we will really come to see what is Thy purpose for each and every one of us. That our life on this earth may be spent in a way that will fulfill Thy will. Lord, may Thy Spirit touch each and every one of us as we consider together Thy word. We ask in Thy precious name. Amen. For the past 2 weeks, we have been considering two young brothers. Who worked together with the Apostle Paul. We thank God for these young brothers. And we thank God for Paul, because he was the one who had the burden for these young people. And he was able to help these young people and use them according to what the Lord has given to them. So, brothers and sisters, I do feel that the older ones in our midst have a tremendous responsibility. Every one of us has a responsibility for our young people. Whether they are able to be raised up and whether they are able to be used of God depends very much upon the older ones. Whether we will set a good example to them or whether we will be able to help them in the Lord and enable them to be ready for the Lord's use. So I think it works both ways. The young people have their responsibility that they need to give themselves totally to the Lord and allow the Lord to work in our lives and use them. And the older ones have the responsibility of helping these young people to move on in the Lord and to use them wisely, as it were, according to the gift and the temperament that God has given to each of them. So while we are speaking of these young brothers, actually, I think all of us should be involved, the old as well as the young. Now, this morning, I would like to mention another young brother. I wonder if you have ever heard his name. Epaphras. Maybe you have never heard him. But we find that he was one of the young brothers that were greatly used by the Lord. We do not know much about this young man. Most likely, when Paul was in Ephesus, you remember he was in Ephesus for 3 years. And during those years, people in all Asia Minor were able to hear of the gospel. And most likely, Epaphras was from that area. And he must be brought to the Lord by the Apostle Paul. But after he was saved, we find there was much growth in this young brother. He was able to move among the people in Colossae, in Laodicea, and in Hierapolis. In these three places, he was able to be used by God to help the brothers and sisters in these three different places. But because he was young, so when we find in Colossae, there came a problem. You know, if you read the letter to the Colossae, you know that the people in Colossae, at the beginning, they really had a heart for the Lord. They wanted to be perfect. And because of their desire for perfection, some people came into their midst and told them that you could be perfect if you were circumcised, if you were kept some of the Jewish law, and if you know some of the mystic teachings, then you will be perfect. And because of this, the people in Colossae, they were disturbed because some got into this heresy. And Epaphras, being a young brother who was helping these people, he did not know how to deal with the situation. Of course, he himself also want to be perfected. But whether this is the real way to perfection, or whether it will be a disturbance, he did not have the knowledge, the ability to discern and to help the people in Colossae, Laodicea, and Hierapolis. And because of this, he took a trip, a long trip to Rome to see Paul. We remember at that time Paul was in prison in Rome. But this was his first imprisonment, and he was able to live in his own rented house, even though he was always chained with a Roman soldier. But there was an opportunity for him to spread the gospel among the Roman soldiers, and not only that, to reach the house of Caesar. So Epaphras took a long trip to Rome, and there she shared with Paul what had happened. And that was the reason why we have today that letter to the Colossians. Paul wrote a letter to the Colossians to show them that perfection is in Christ, not in anything else. And Epaphras, evidently, because of his visit to Paul, he too became a prisoner. He was not able to immediately return to Colossae. But Paul bore witness to him. That how he prayed for the Colossian saints. He prayed that they may be perfect in Christ Jesus. And that's about all we have heard of Epaphras. We do not know what's the end of Epaphras. But I believe we can believe that he was faithful to the Lord to the very end. So, dear brothers and sisters, here we have another young brother who was raised up by God to help the church in Colossae, Hierapolis, and Laodicea. We do not know his future, but we believe he must be faithful to the Lord to the very end. So, dear brothers and sisters, as we go through these young brothers, raised up by God, and how the Apostle Paul was used by God to help these young brothers, I think we have a very important lesson to learn. We all have. In other words, we are all involved. We are all involved in the next generation. It is not that the Lord will raise up one generation and that's it. But we find that the Lord will raise up one generation. And because the generation is faithful to the Lord, and through their faithfulness, the next generation will be able to be raised up and continue on with the testimony. It is a pity. While we are reading the first 2-3 chapters of Revelation, we see how glorious was the situation in the church in Philadelphia. How God raised them up. And how they were faithful to the Lord. Kept his word. Deny not his name. And yet, we find after Philadelphia, there was Laodicea. In other words, all the outward things are kept, but the inward spirit was missing. So, dear brothers and sisters, for the past 3 weeks, as we concentrate our attention to our young people, I think all of us need to be before the Lord. We need to be responsible for what the Lord has committed to us. We need to be responsible for his testimony. And we need to be those who will be helping our young people to be raised up and continue on with the testimony of Jesus. As I'm thinking of the relationship, I'm thinking of my past. When I was a young man, I received help. Even though at that time I was in college. And yet, when I was reading what the Lord has given to Washburn Nee, I was greatly affected. You know, I was brought up a Methodist. My father was a Methodist pastor, well known in China. And I love my father. But the Lord began to show me what the church is. And when I see what the church is, I realize my difficult situation. Because at that time I was in college, and my professors, many of them were missionaries coming from this country. And yet when I was under these professors, and I didn't know anything, so I plunged myself into all the Christian works in our school. But as I was working with these professors, I was surprised. Because all they talk about was about political, economical, social. Then they found these things in the Bible, and they talk about them. So when I began to testify how the Lord Jesus saved me, they cut me off. Now, I never knew there were two different kinds of Christians in the world. I think all Christians love God. All Christians believe in the Bible. But it was so eye-opening when I was in college. So finally, I had to retreat myself completely from all Christian activity in the school. I was at that time slept in the dormitories. In our dormitory, it's a three man in one room. But I was so desperate. I found that the only way I could continue on in the Lord was the prayer and reading the Bible. So I knelt by a chair and prayed and read the Bible a lot. I didn't care whether schoolmates, classmates, going in and out of the room and talking. I was just praying and reading the Word, because that was my life. You know, at that time, my greatest problem was baptism. I was baptized when I was a baby. And after I was saved, people began to tell me that I have to be baptized by immersion. I argued with them. I said I was already baptized. My father baptized me in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I cannot blaspheme the name of God. So I rejected it for years. Until finally, when I read the Bible, I began to see that baptism is by immersion. For we are to be co-death, co-burial, and co-resurrected with Christ Jesus. So outwardly I was still arguing. Inwardly I knew it was the right thing to do. One day I visited my friend. He lived next door to wash my knee. And again my friend talked to me about baptism. And I argued with him again. So he gave me up and went to sleep. So I sat there by myself and prayed. I said, Lord, you know, I will be baptized by immersion. But it's not convenient now. I will wait until I'm independent. Then I will be baptized by immersion. And while I was praying in that way, suddenly a voice came to me. He who loves his father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. Cannot be my disciple. Brothers and sisters, nobody talked to me. The Lord was speaking to me. And when that word came, I surrendered. I said, Lord, if that's your will be done. So I quietly went down from our friend's house next to the watchman. I knocked the door of watchman. He came down and opened the door. And he said, what do you want? I say, I want to be baptized. Now he knew my father. So he said, did your father know about it? I said, no. But I felt the Lord had commanded me to do it. So I was baptized the next day. It was a Saturday. And on Sunday, I met with the brothers and sisters there in Hardon Road. And when I was partaking of the Lord's table, I was deeply touched. You know, when I was in the denomination, when I attended the so-called communion, I was very serious. But when I was having the Lord's table with the brothers and sisters in Shanghai with Brother Lee, I felt the difference. It was simple, but real. So I told myself, I cannot continue on with taking the communion in the Methodist Church. Why? Because the one who knelt by my side, my professor, did not believe. But this will be a big problem because my father was the pastor there. How could I be absent during that Communion Sunday? So, brothers and sisters, you can see my dilemma. For a whole year, every time when the communion came, I tried to find some excuse not to be there. I have exhausted all my excuses. My father was very wise. He noticed, but he said nothing. He was watching. He knew that I somehow will not partake the communion there. But he wanted to help me. So he asked me to take care of what we call a neighborhood Sunday school. Now, Suzhou is like Venice. It is a city full of water, river. River go through the whole city. And there are many boat people. So my father asked me to go and gather these children of the most boat people and gather them and have a Sunday school with them on Sunday afternoon. So I did with some of my friends. And we began to gather these boat children and get them together Sunday afternoon and began to share Christ with them. But brothers and sisters, to tell you the story. I have two classmates who were the Lord's. So three of them. Sometimes we find an empty room and went in together to pray. Then after a while, we were introduced to four sisters. They were in the other part of Suzhou, in a Presbyterian medical hospital. One was the principal of the nursing school. One was a superintendent of nurses. And one was a nurse, and one was a patient. And these four sisters, they went by turn, by a train, to Shanghai to break bread there with Brother Ni. So finally, they were introduced to us. So we say, well, whether we should come together in a simple way to remind the Lord or not, let's pray. So we prayed for several months. And after several months, we all decided that we should begin to come together to remember the Lord. So I can still remember, even though it was so long ago, seven of us gathered in a sister's home, break the bread together in a simple way. We all wept. The presence of the Lord was so real. And from there, the Lord began to add to us. Very soon, all the students in the nursing school got saved, except, I think, two. The Lord began to work. And that caused a problem to me, because I was supposed to be the brother who was in responsibility. I usually was the one who opened the door, the one who welcomed the brothers and sisters, the one who played the organ, the one who speak, and the one who sent them away and close the door. I did everything at that time. And I do visitations too. And even with our little group, it caused such a turmoil in the city of Suzhou. All the denominations in Suzhou gathered together. Their pastors, the principal of the schools, the president of a college, all the pastors, they came together for 3 days to discuss us. Now, I was told, because my father never said anything to me, I was told they accused my father. They say, see, you have such a son. There stood up such problem in the city. And my father was very wise. I heard he said, he used the word of Gamaliel. And he said, don't touch it. If it is of the Lord, you touch the Lord. If it is a man, it will disappear by itself. My father never said anything to me. He gave me perfect freedom. Now, I was still in the college at that time. But I live at home now. He allowed me to be free, to do anything. He never asked any question. But of course, he tried to find out whom I was with. But he left me perfect freedom. Oftentimes I came back late at night because I was visiting. He never said a word. I thank God for my father. I think it was after a year I was baptized. I told my father I was baptized by immersion. He was hurt. He was hurt not because I was baptized by immersion. He was hurt because I didn't trust him. He said, if you want to be baptized by immersion, I will do it for you. Because according to the Methodist, if people ask for immersion, they will do it. But because I did not believe him, he was hurt. During my last 2 years in college, it was the busiest year of my life. I didn't even have much time to read my book. So when the examination came, I took the book that I've never read and started to read, but the book is thick. I prayed as I read. I said, let me read what will be the question. And sure enough, in my 2 years in college, miracles after miracles happened. I remember one day that professor never had any quiz, so nobody prepared. I sat down. The first thing I did, I always pray. And when I pray, I felt the urge to look the book. So I just flip it over. And sure enough, when the professor came, he said there was a quiz. And all the questions were the what I have read. So brothers and sisters, my two last years in college was wonderful years. My mother at first was worried. He said, you never read. Now how can you study and you never read? But when he said my mark was good, he kept silent. But brothers and sisters, don't follow me. Because I remember when I mentioned this, and someone tried to follow me, and she failed completely. But that is the mercy of God. After I graduated, Brother washed my knee, asked me to join him. Now remember, I was only 20 years old. I felt myself unworthy. I felt that I didn't know the Bible enough. And at that time, in Suzhou, the place I was, we had about 70 brothers and sisters already. And I loved them. So I didn't want to leave them. I told the Lord, I want to find a job there so that I can prepare myself. My father never said a word. He wouldn't help me at all. He just watched. And brothers and sisters, God's way sometimes is very while I was waiting, undecided, among us there was a young brother, a high school student. I loved him very much. When the school was over, before he went home to Nanking, he went to the river to swim, and he was drowned. So I was the one who have to take care of all the afterwards until his parents came. So after we buried him, that night I couldn't sleep. I argued with God. I said, God, we have only few brothers. And this young brother, so young, why did you take him? I couldn't sleep. And you know what the Lord said? The Lord said, this young brother died for you. I don't understand. Then the Lord explained to me. He said, if you like this young brother died, could you serve me anymore? And that settled it. So the next day, I talked to my father. You know, in my home, it's very strange. We all respect our father very much. Mother is very close, but father is being respected. And when you want to talk to him, you have to make an arrangement. So I arranged to talk to my father. I told him all the story. And you know what my father said? My father said, I know all along that the Lord has called you. Even though you do not work with me, but as long as you serve the Lord, it's okay. So we knelt down. He commit me to the Lord. And I left home for the first time. Brothers and sisters, I told these things because of the young people here. the Lord deals with the young people. I was young at that time. The Lord was dealing with me. And when he deals with you, you better obey. But I have to add something. I left home. I went to Shanghai, joined Brother Ni. I stayed in the upper room of the Gospel Book Room. Nobody control me. Brother Ni was sick most of the time. But we make arrangement that I would see him once a week. And usually we would talk a little bit and he would give me some books to read. All kinds of books. And that's why it helped me to have the habit of reading. All kinds of books. And I think that he did it purposely. You know, in Shanghai at the time, there were just Brother Ni and I who spoke there. And he was sick most of the time. He never told me when I'm going to speak. It's only on Sunday morning at 7 o'clock. He sent a note to me. And the note has only two words. When he said, I come, then he will be speaking that morning. But sometimes he said, you speak. Then I had to speak that morning. So you see, I have to be suspended in that way. And be prepared every time. Because I don't know when I'm going to speak. I think he did it purposely, but it did well for me because it really helped me to be ever ready, as it were, whenever you're going to speak. But brothers and sisters, as I look back, that was so many years ago. I was just a young man, 20 years old, and sitting before me were about 200 people. And some of them, like Peace Wong, like Brother Sister Lee, they were greatly used by the Lord. And they were all sitting there listening to this young man speaking. I don't know how they feel. And I don't know how I did it. But that was what happened to me in the first year. And then he began to send me out. When people asked him to go, he couldn't. He sent me out in his stead. So, brothers and sisters, as a young man, do not think that you're too young, that you cannot be involved in the Lord's interest. If the Lord calls you, if the Lord touches you, then you shall obey. And as you obey, he will begin to lead you step by step. So my heart is burdened for our young people. You are not too young to be used by the Lord. The only thing is, are you willing to give yourself totally to the Lord? Allow the Lord to do whatever he thinks fit for you. And also, for the older people here. I hope we will pray for our young people. Not only pray for them, but help them as much as we could to encourage them. Because, as I said at the very beginning, we are coming to our second generation. We are here over 40 years already. And unless the Lord will raise up our young people, how can we continue on? So may the Lord touch each and every one of us and give us a new beginning, as it were. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, I have spoken what thou hast put in my heart. Now it is up to you, Lord. If it's of thee, Lord, touch the hearts of the young people here. And also, all of us, that together we may be used of thee to prepare for the second generation. Lord, this is your testimony. It had to be maintained until thy return. So Lord, do not allow us to be lax in any way. But Lord, we want to see thy testimony continue on until thy return. So we give ourselves to thee this morning, both the old and the young, and say, Lord, continue thy work in us, that thy testimony may remain on earth as long as it should be. We ask.